Yesterday during our clothing drive, I was helping a lady out with a bag of clothes. And she said, "Are you ready for the Lord to return?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Good fella." So now you know I'm a good fella. But anyway, she went on to describe some things. We had a little discussion out in the parking lot. And she said she had her ticket. So there you go. There are many things that are being accomplished here at Washington Street. And tonight, Lord willing, I would like for all of you to come back. I have a lesson that will deal with the church in this community. And so I want to challenge us and talk about some things that we're already doing to inform. And I hope that you'll be here. I know that some can't because of taking care of others. And some are probably going to be at work. But if not, you don't have any other reason unless you're sick. So we hope that you'll come and be with us. I'm sure it is true with you, as it is with me, that there are certain passages of the Bible that we have learned maybe from early on that we consider to be treasures. And as we reflect upon those, they are very dear to us. Not that the other references or other Bible passages are not important, but we consider them to be treasures. And we hold them dear, and we think about them during the day, during the week, maybe even before we go to bed at night. We think about those verses that we hold dear. Some of them we have learned from our mothers or our fathers, aunts or uncles, grandparents, but we remember them because they kind of stick in our minds. We have memorized them. We have thought about them. They are true treasures from the Word of God. And as I thought about that for our lesson today, I came across some statistics that I want to share in just a moment. But I'd like to read to you something about the Bible. I heard about a preacher who was walking with a man. And he asked him, "Do you know the Bible?" The man said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What part of the Bible do you know best?" The man said, "The New Testament." The preacher went on to ask him what part of the New Testament he knew best. The man said, "Well, I suppose I know the story of the Good Samaritan best of all." The preacher said, "Tell me that story." The man said, "Well, as best I can recall, there was a good Samaritan traveling down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thorns, and they sprung up and choked him and left him half dead. But a man came by feeding his swine, and he said to the man, 'I will rise and go to my father.' So he took up his bed and walked. But while the soldiers were chasing him through the forest, he got the hair of his head caught up in the trees, and he hung there about 40 days and 40 nights, and the ravens fed him. Just then Delilah came along with a big pair of shears, and she cut off his hair, and he fell on stony ground. But the good master of the house resurrected the man, and he journeyed on his way. And all of a sudden, he came to the wall of Jericho, and there's Jezebel sitting on the wall, and she mocked him. And he said, 'Chunk her down to the dogs.' And they chunked her down 70 times 7, and great was the fall thereof. And of the fragments that remain, they picked up 12 baskets full, and whose wife shall she be in the resurrection?" That is about the way some memory is for people in regard to the Bible, sad to say. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 is a verse that we often mention. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's one thing to read the Bible and really not know it. And so these stories that we recount are very vital to our understanding the dilemmas that sometimes people are in spiritually. And they awaken us to truths about our own lives and what we need to do to have the blessings that God affords us. George Gallup, whom you've all read about, gave some statistics in regard to how uninformed U.S. citizens are in regard to the Bible. Less than 50% knew that Genesis was the first book of the Bible. 50%. An average American teenager could only name 3 or 4 of the Ten Commandments. 60% of adults could not name half of them. 75% of adults could not name 1 Old Testament prophet. 34%, knew that Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Only 30% could name the books of the New Testament containing the 4 accounts of the life of Christ. Someone mentioned to me the other day in passing that they didn't know the books of the Bible. They could not recall them. It's sad, really, when we take little interest in learning the things that we should from God's Word. So I want to, very positively this morning, think about the treasures of this precious book that we call the Bible. The Bible has come down to us at great price. Men have literally died to present the Word of God to other people. To just simply have in their possession a Bible to read to their friends and neighbors. I received a report the other day from a missionary who gave Bibles for the first time to an area of people that they finally were able to reach. And the young children and the adults would run to obtain a copy of a Bible. When we think that in our land, how many Bibles we have, it is estimated, had you lived only 200 years after Jesus, and custom copies of the Bible had been made available, you would have paid a scribe $512.45 for a New Testament, and $2,800 for a complete copy of the Bible. In addition to this amount, you also would have to pay for other supplies required to produce your completed copy of the Bible. Most Bibles that we obtain today, with maps and concordance and other Bible helps, can be purchased now for around $25. I was in Ollie's the other day, and I found some Bibles, whole, complete Bibles with all the helps that you can imagine, maps and all, for $15. That's a bargain. And some of them were even $9.99. I don't know why they always put that 99 cents on the end, but they do. But you know, most adults can afford $9.99. And they can even afford the $19.99 or the $15.99 for a Bible. You may spend that much or more on lunch today. So, as we think about that, there are a good many reasons to treasure the Bible. Dr. William Lloyd Phelps, past president of Cornell University, once said, "The Bible is the most valuable document in English literature." Do you think most people feel that way in our day and age? That the Bible is the most valuable document in English literature? No man can be called an uneducated man who knows the Bible. And no man can be called an educated man who does not. That's his quote. Theodore Roosevelt one time said, "Almost every man who has by his life work added to the sum of human achievements of which the race is proud, almost every such man has based his life work largely upon the teachings of the Bible." And you think about men of renown in years gone by, whether presidents or leaders or whatever, a lot of them had made the statement that their life would not be what it is without the Bible. That throws a lot of light on our society, doesn't it? Abraham Lincoln, "I am profitably engaged in reading the Bible. Take all of this book upon reason that you can, and the balance by faith, and you will live and die a better man." Alexander Campbell, if you've ever visited Campbell's mansion, he would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he had a skylight in his little study, and he would read for hours from God's Word. And he was knowledgeable of the Bible, by the way. John Quincy Adams, the first and almost only book, he said, deserving of universal distinction, is the Bible. "I speak as a man of the world to the men of the world, and I say to you, search the Scriptures." You know that verse? "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so, but they did it with readiness of mind." Readiness of mind. There was a man a number of years ago who was an atheist, and he had filed a petition with the Brooklyn Center Independent School District, which he argued that the Bible was unfit for the eyes of children. And in that petition, he stated that the lewd, this is a quote, "that the lewd and indecent and violent content of that book, the Bible, are hardly suitable for young students," unquote. He further charged that Bible passages have no historical, scientific, literary, artistic, or political value. So let's turn to a verse. It's found in Psalm 119 and verse 89. If you don't remember anything else that I say today, it might be good to memorize this verse. Psalm 119, if you will, and verse 89. Just a short verse. "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Recently on the radio, I've had several lessons, and in the content of those lessons I've had that were not to add to or take away from the Word of God. And one of the reasons is that God's revelation to us is already settled. Everything has been revealed. And as we study together, this is an important verse. "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Where can we go to find out about the origin of man? Barbara and I hope this week to visit, at least this is our plan, to visit the Ark and the Creation Museum. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, if you have not seen on television, the film is Genesis History. You need to get it. You need to get a copy of it. You need to purchase it. And you need to watch it. Scientists all over our world today are being confronted with untruths. And biblical archaeology in our day and time has so expanded the knowledge that we have of creation, of our world and everything within it, that it staggers, it boggles the mind. And scientists who at one time were critical of biblical information have made an about face and are now saying that we need to study our Bibles because the evidence is there. There's no place that we can go except the Bible to find out about the origin of man. And that every truth has been revealed. When we talk about our purpose upon the earth, the Bible tells us what our purpose is. Go throughout all the Bible and look at every reference, and the Bible will tell us why we are here. And it's always amazed me. If I were to ask you how many men wrote the Bible, would you know? You don't have to answer out loud. 40 writers. All from various backgrounds. The treasure, one of the treasures of the Bible is that it is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. I want to go to it. I want to read it, even though you may know these two verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let's read it together. Notice what he says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, you know that, right? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I sat in a teenage class years and years and years ago, and I had a marvelous teacher. And that teacher, almost every Sunday, would read this verse. And one day I asked him, I said, why are you reading this to us about every Sunday? He said, because there is a phrase in there that you need to learn. As young men, you need to learn what it says. And here is what it says. For instruction in righteousness. You can go to any library, you can go to any bookstore and find all kinds of books on help, helping you do this and helping you do that. But the Bible has within it many treasures that instruct us in righteousness. We can learn, can we not, how to live, how to conduct ourselves. Yesterday during our giveaway, a lady asked me about the book that I had out in regard to ethics. And the question was, what's ethics? And when I described to her ethics about conduct and behavior and morality, I think the next statement out of her mouth was, we surely need that in our day and time. You know, people, really, if you think about it, people don't know how to conduct themselves. They don't know how to behave. They are without excuse. And I say that because the Word of God is God-breathed and it instructs us in righteousness, does it not? Tells us how to live right. And then it says this, that the man of God may be complete or perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Important. The Bible is God working in the world, as He always has, and trying to illustrate to us His plans, His purposes for our lives. There was a little boy, he told his father, he said, Dad, I know the Bible. And the father said, what do you mean you know the Bible? And the son replied this, that's easy, Daddy. It stands for basic information before leaving Earth. That's pretty good, isn't it? Basic, mark it down. It's a good one. Basic information before leaving Earth. Wouldn't it be something if we could get everybody to understand this is the information that we need? Because God is guiding us and telling us what His purposes and design and will is for our life. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to have to hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we, notice, might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now notice, these things, verse 13, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I dare say that you would probably agree that we are living in an unspiritual world. And the reason is that man does not like to talk about spiritual things. He has a hard time wrapping his mind around it, because he or she is concerned about the things of the world. The Word of God is indestructible. That's a treasure. That's a treasure. Even though heaven and earth will pass away, my words will not pass away, Matthew 24 and verse 35. That's important to us. Herbert Spencer, a long time ago, who lived from 1820 to 1903, that's about when Rick was born, I think, set forth scientific principles. And he said there are five essentials to our existence. And then I want to give you one verse. They are time. Number one, time. Secondly, force. Then there is action. And then there is space. And there is matter. Do you remember Genesis 1:1? You remember? In the beginning, what do we have? Time. In the beginning, God. That's force. In the beginning, time, God, force, and then action, created. In the beginning, God created, then space and matter, the heavens and the earth. Isn't that a treasure? Genesis 1:1, right as we begin reading our Bibles, we have all the components necessary for us to exist. Time, force, action, space, and matter. And isn't it fascinating that it took Herbert Spencer years to discover those principles, when they were writing the Bible all along? I want to close this morning with some things that Brother George Dehoff wrote years ago and why I want to believe the Bible. Number one, because it teaches that I will live after death. Oftentimes when I ask people why they read the Bible, that's one of the things they usually say. Because I want to live after this life is over. And some of the treasures of the Bible that we read are things that tell us about immortality. Jesus brought to light life and immortality. And as we study, we can read about life, and we can also read about immortality, that we're going to live on and on and on throughout eternity. Now, other books said that man's goodness lives on and on, but the Bible tells us what's going to occur. Secondly, I want to go to a better home than this. The other day, someone was mentioning to me about eternity and about the fact that they were thankful that this life is not all there is. You know, we are burdened at times, are we not? With things of the world, things that occur in our lives. And we kind of get bogged down with all of those worries and concerns. And we need to focus on this life is not all there is. And heaven can be our goal if we so desire it. But we have to labor. Number three. Because I want to meet my friends who've gone before me. You can probably think back over the years, and you can think of a lot of individuals who were Christians. And the friendships that you were able to have because they were Christians. Might even be a relative. It might be a preacher or an elder, a deacon, or a member of the church that you are very close to, and they've gone to their reward. Won't it be grand to see them again? I'm sure that you've thought about that a lot. There are some here that, since I've been here over these years, that we have been real close to as family members. I don't mean just being together, but I mean spiritually speaking, close ties, close bonds, because we have something in common, and that is we are brethren. And one day I want to see all of those who have gone before. And finally, because I've always been taught that the Bible is the truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And a while ago, we had read John 8:31-36. And in that text, he says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if we are servants of the Lord, we'll be free indeed. But then it tells us that Jesus Christ is the agent whereby we can receive that truth. He died for us all. This morning, if you're not yet a Christian, will you become a Christian by believing with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, turning from sin, acknowledging your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and allowing us even this day to baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins, arising to walk in newness of life? Wouldn't it be a marvelous thing if today someone, just one person, would step out on faith and be obedient to the gospel and become one of his children? And if a wayward child, we're not ashamed to be his son or daughter, be one of his children. But we know that, as was prayed a while ago, sometimes we're weak and we sin. And thanks be to God that when we do, we can change our mind and heart and go in the right direction. We can pray to God that he forgive us, having acknowledged those sins, and know that God will forgive us. You know, that's another treasure, isn't it? To know that God will forgive us. We're going to sing the song that's been announced as a way of encouraging you to come and make your desires and wishes known as we stand and as we sing together.